Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to the WordPress Way, a Do the Woo podcast show. This show is brought to you by Kinsta, with the highest rating on G2 in the Manage WordPress Hosting category, and our partner Woo, where you can find all you need for your client sites at the WooCommerce Marketplace. Tell you more about them later in the show, but let's jump into the WordPress Way.
Hi, I'm your host, Birgit, and we are here about with another The WordPress Way, where we dive deep into the heart and soul of WordPress, exploring the cutting edge and the current of the incredible people shaping its future. I have two lovely guests today on our show, and I would love to have them introduce themselves. I have on board Megan and Mike. And please, Megan, tell our audience a bit about you.
Hi, yeah. So I'm Megan Rose. I'm pretty active in the WordPress community and have been since like 2014 or around then. So people might know me from there. I'm in Northeast Ohio. Work with that WordPress community, and then also on the WordCamp US organizing team and the incident response team. Alternatively, people might know me from Codable, where I'm the head of community.
That's impressive. And to explain to the audience, you and I, we met previously on several WordCamps, and so it's really good to see that someone like you also is part of the incident response team, which is also one of the part of improving DIB. Mike, would you mind telling the audience a bit about you?
Sure. I also work at Codable alongside Birgit. I'm actually on the same team as Birgit. That's how I'm here. We're recently coworkers. She just asked him if he'd be willing to come on. Let's see. My background is not in WordPress. The majority of my background and my degree, in fact, is in social work. But I also have a few years' experience in sales, as well as several other customer-facing roles. And in my, I guess I'll say free time, like not work-related time, I've also been a volunteer, it's called harassment and grievance officer, doing similar like code of conduct type stuff for a local community organization volunteering.
Wow, really impressive. It's really interesting to learn more about coworkers while recording a podcast. So yeah, as Mike said, I joined recently also a Codable within the support team. But nevertheless, I was asking and inviting you both as we share a kind of common urge to improve diversity and talk about, and as Mike, as you said, this code of conduct that you help someone with how to apply this best. And for me, as a non-English, I have English not as my first language, is sometimes difficult to articulate myself, so please bear with me. So I prepared some ideas and questions, and I would love to hear from you, Megan. Can you share your experience with the community management and what strategy you have proven effective to foster inclusive environment? You said you were on the incident response team and the WordPress community and the global WordPress community. Would you mind sharing some of your experience and what you are encountering on a daily basis?
Yes, obviously I'll caveat this with my experiences, my own, and not necessarily an experience shared by others at Codable. But when I first started, I think the community was a little bit of a boys' club. And there were times that our community members would say things that like made me uncomfortable, or I actually had someone slide into my DMs at one point. And yeah, so I knew that I had some work cut out for me. And because I already do have experience handling code of conduct issues and feel confident and comfortable, and I have the backing of the management to tackle these kinds of things. I just dove straight into just trying to lay groundwork for a more welcoming environment for women and gender minorities especially. So yeah, one of the very first things that I did was introduce a code of conduct process here. I actually just like verbatim, almost verbatim copied the WordPress of community code of conduct. So there's two codes of conduct with the WordPress community. There's the one that's like event specific, that's talking about like things that are happening at a WordCamp, and that's the one that's copied to all the WordCamp sites. And then there's the overarching one that was introduced, I believe, in 2020 when things were moving online and we needed to, quite frankly, we probably always had the need to have an overarching code of conduct, but 2020 made that really apparent because you're in these online spaces with people and then it bleeds into other online spaces and it's less like clear cut, like, oh, an incident happened at this WordCamp or an incident didn't happen at this WordCamp. It's a little more fluid when things move online. So yeah, I introduced a code of conduct process and started off with reporting at the end of the year on like how many incidents were dealt with, because I thought that would do a lot for both the gender minority group and the LGBT group, because there had been like some incidents in the past just of like people feeling uncomfortable. I wanted to make sure people knew that like action was being taken and things were being done. So I did the same thing that WordPress, the project, does, which is anonymize the data from the incidents and publish them just internally. So I think that I started to see some people get a little more engaged after that. There's like a whole like variety of other stuff. I don't know how in depth you want me to get. Made some adjustments to like our termination procedures to require a staff vote. We've also shifted, like the company generally has shifted more towards education from like punitive measures when people do something wrong. And I think there's been decent strides in the last couple of years that I've been here in having an approach with even people that like say something that we might call like bigoted or do something that makes someone feel unwelcome. I'm really proud of like my ability to speak directly to those people and actually bring them along and change their minds. It's possible they're just lying to me, but I don't think they are, because I've had, it's just lots and lots of one-on-one conversations with people that you might initially feel uncomfortable having a one-on-one conversation with because you're worried, oh, what if I get angry? But talking to someone one-on-one is like quite different than trying to change someone's mind on Twitter or something. It's a long game. It's a very long game to change people's minds and make them see your perspective. And it's taken many separate conversations with a handful of people to get them to really understand my perspective with the introduction of like new rules or new procedures. It's fun and it's necessary.
I think it's interesting. You mentioned also the global WordPress community, but also at Codable, you foster also the experts community that is some kind of a bubble within the WordPress ecosystem. And having some differences also in culture backgrounds and different skill backgrounds, and also especially in a more male-dominated field, it's difficult also to distinguish how we can communicate with each other with respect and raising also awareness. For example, inclusive language. This year, I was at the CloudFest Hackathon trying to improve the check for inclusive language with our Make WordPress blocks. Even if this project didn't go that way I had envisioned for this. But I learned from my perspective a lot about it, especially the different perspectives and cultures. And you were talking about also the reporting when incidents happen that is in every community, incidents happen. And you can't assume how someone may react on something you may say or not. And everyone has their own filter, but also their own wisdom and experience. And you never know how a word or an action can trigger someone else. And as you mentioned, to raise awareness about it, and would you mind share with the audience a bit how to identify when something occurs? Because I personally find it somewhat difficult because I have a different perspective of how someone may overstep my boundaries. And as a community manager and head of community, it's you're the shepherd situation maybe to make sure that every member of the community in some form feels well and belong, but on the other hand also raising awareness where an issue occurs.
Yeah, I think when I first started, goal number one was to get respect and trust from the community first, and that's something that just actually takes time and can't happen overnight. Obviously, everyone's worked in a workplace where some new person is brought in and you're just like, all right, what are they trying to do here? When people come in and crack the whip, that never goes well. And I don't want to be that kind of person anyways. So it was a lot of just having casual one-on-one conversations with a wide variety of people. And yeah, gaining that trust, because I think initially, I think anyone who's experienced a negative thing in a workplace would know that unless you, let's put it this way, anyone who has experienced something negative at the workplace, who's reported it and not had anything happen, there's a little bit of a silencing effect there where they're way less likely to report things again. Even looking, like zooming out larger scale, if you look at things like reports of rape, that's something that not a lot happens when it is reported. People, as a consequence, don't report it as much. So I think when I first came in, I don't know what had happened or what hadn't happened in the past, but if there was a history of people reporting something and they're not really being the right person in that spot or the right process in place, I could see how they would get frustrated and not really report stuff in the future. And when you have like a brand new person in a role and you're like, I'm coming in and I'm like, hey, tell me everything you think is wrong with this place. That just doesn't sit well with a lot of people because you have to actually know the person first to trust them. So yeah, initially it was just like, build as much trust with people as possible. Get to know people, get to know like how people interact with each other. I'm a big people watcher. Knowing, oh, these two people don't get along really well, or these two people don't get along really well, is really helpful to see when things might get heated. And yeah, we, for context, we have a Slack channel or a Slack workspace with all of our experts and staff. And that's where a lot of their communication happens. It's between that and the in-person spaces, which would be like WordCamps specifically. We host dinners at WordCamps. So yeah, people aren't going to report things unless they know that there's a process. The process will be followed. It will be fair. And in some cases, I've had people report things directly to me and they were afraid to follow the formal process because they didn't want it to negatively impact the income of the person they were reporting. So there's a lot of complexities that come with reporting things. And I think we probably see that in the WordPress space as well, where there's a little bit of hesitancy because you're afraid you're going to like impact someone else's way of making a living, which is, of course, something I don't think many people at all would want that. Maybe we don't want people in certain leadership positions, but I don't think anyone wants people to go hungry or anything. Yeah, I feel like I got a little off track there.
No, it's totally fine. Thank you very much also for sharing this insight. And as you mentioned, someone may be hesitant to report an incident because maybe they feel it is not impactful enough. But on the other hand, when I feel myself I'm comfortable and I have a way to express this, or I can't express this to this person immediately and I may request some mediation, it's absolutely fine. And that is what I love about the WordPress community. And overall, we care for each other in the overall community. Sure, there will be always characters within the community which don't care and be more overstepping. But on the other hand, yeah, that is something I observed from different communities outside of the WordPress community. I always feel more welcome within the WordPress community than in other communities.
Yeah.
If you are looking for hosting via cloud servers for your client sites, consider checking out Kinsta. With their container technology, you are assured of no shared resources. Plus, you get global CDN, edge caching, and Cloudflare Enterprise for all your sites. It doesn't stop there, though. Auto backup, staging, plugin vulnerability alerts, and uptime monitoring comes with 24/7 support that you can expect from humans. Add to this, for agencies, look into their partner programs with some nice extras, plus an account manager and custom plans to meet the needs of your client's sites. All this and more, just head over to kinsta.com. As a product builder, expand your business with the WooCommerce Marketplace. Woo powers over 3.6 million sites, and with 940 plus products in their marketplace, it has a 95% satisfaction rate with their marketplace partners. What does this mean? You'll reach a larger user base, you'll enjoy extra exposure and promotional opportunities, be able to access product insights, and get the Woo seal of approval. Just head over to WooCommerce.com and discover how you can be a marketplace partner.
Speaking from external perspective, Mike, you shared you weren't much as involved within the WordPress community from your background in social work and also for the code of conduct and so on. Would you mind sharing your perspective as you now work more with people related to the WordPress ecosystem compared to your background? Would you mind sharing your thought on that and observations?
Sure. But yeah, like I said, the majority of my background is in social work, which is definitely coming in handy working in a customer service role right now. And I've, in terms of personal interaction with WordPress or open source communities, when I was a teenager, I was like really into Mozilla. I still remember launch day in 2001 of Firefox 1.0. And I've always been more into the sort of philosophical side, like the politics of open source, as opposed to the actual software and like development side. And anyway, so from an outside perspective, I try to just bring a sense of non-judgmental stance towards interactions with people and try to be like, extend that sense of acceptance that I learned and genuineness from my social background when dealing with people, because like it's who might be having like a code of conduct situation or something like that, where they aren't like a bad person or anything like that. It's just that mistakes happen. And so that's where I try to bring that situation from my background into my specific role. I have seen customer service people in the past who've been pretty punitive. But I guess bringing the conversation like big picture to diversity stuff and an outside perspective looking at open source and WordPress, I think there is something of a contradiction between the politics and ethics of open source and the fact that we exist in capitalism, we are a business, and like, can we really democratize publishing for as long as WordPress is controlled by just a couple companies instead of being actually controlled by the community that built it?
Yeah, I think it is. You brought a really interesting point into this conversation. Also, the overall discussion about, is it really truly driven by the community? And I remember a time when we really thought we could create a governance board for the WordPress project. Yeah, maybe the optimist in me is still hoping that sometimes we can make this happen. But on the other hand, I, from my personal perspective, I try to do the work I can have an impact on to make it for the people my circles are touching the best as possible. But yeah, on the other hand, you talked about also politics and also the capitalism. I remember you mentioning your advocating for pay transparency. Would you mind elaborate on that? Why it's important to you also, and why, how would you think the broader community can benefit of that? Speaking of WordPress, and we are still in a capitalist environment. So how can we benefit on that?
Sure. Yeah. I remember talking about that with you in the past. Yeah. I think it's pretty common for businesses now to go with the flow in terms of you have to say that you care about diversity and all of that, but it's doing that sort of public relations type stuff doesn't mean anything until you start getting into things like where it actually matters with pay. Look at, say, gender-based pay disparities and things like that, which is not something that I think that I personally have been discriminated against about, but obviously I like talk to my coworkers, and I don't think I've worked at a lot of companies over the many years, and I don't think I've ever worked at a place that didn't have some pay disparity. And you want to do something about that. I'm not okay with the fact that someone who has my job makes a hell of a lot less than me. And that shouldn't just be like her problem. That's our problem. I want to do something about that. And anyway, I remember seeing at, where was it? I believe it was actually WordCamp US San Diego. At the end of a speech, there was somebody talking about diversity, and she advocated for basically none of this really means anything until you have pay transparency. We can use an example of something like the company Buffer, for example. Just happened to know of them off the top of my head. It's buffer.com. They have the names of every single one of their employees listed and how much that individual is paid on their website. I've seen companies before that claim they care about diversity, but then you find out about things behind the scenes, and then just don't let there be a behind the scenes. If you're not discriminating against women and gender minorities, for example, then there wouldn't be a disparity and you should be able to say something like that. And yeah, that's just the kind of thing that I would like to see more companies doing. If you really care about diversity and inclusion and stuff, I think it should come down to having transparency. And I guess where that starts is talking to your coworkers. Like in the United States, at least, which is the context I can speak to since I live here in the United States, it's super common for people to outright discourage you from talking about pay with your coworkers, but that is illegal. Here, at least. Like, you have a right to talk about that stuff, and you should. And I think that, like, if you find out there's something wrong, or that there is a pay disparity, it's not a matter of telling someone, like, oh, you should go talk to the boss about this. That kind of an individualist approach, it's all of our problem. And it's something we should, I think, figure out, like, collectively and work towards, instead of having it fall on that one individual. Not just because, from a normative perspective, that the hardship of having to address an injustice shouldn't fall on the person who's suffering from that injustice. But also, there's that moral perspective, but also just from efficacy and like actually making a difference, individualist actions of like how to actually get things done aren't as effective as something like collective agreements. I think in Germany, a lot of major companies have co-governance structures where like there are employee representatives on the board, which I know is not a perfect system, but is still certainly better than here, at least, and a lot of other places. And that's what I'm talking about when it comes to things like cost and power. Is, you say you care about diversity, then okay, give us a vote on the board or have collective bargaining. So there's fixed pay grades where if I'm making more than a coworker, it should be because of something objective like seniority or documented productivity or merit, something that isn't subjective. I have seen people who there's a wide disparity and they're doing the same job and it doesn't make any sense. And you can say that you care about things about diversity and inclusion, but until you're willing to actually open the books and see about not just democratizing publishing, but let's democratize the back end and how our businesses actually run. I think it's all talk until you're willing to show what everyone makes and actually bring people into the decision-making power of the company.
Yeah, it's a very interesting point. And especially when you talked about in some countries, it's legal to talk about your pay rates, but in other countries, it's illegal, for instance, to talk about it. Or there is some discrimination from culture background or religious background. That is another topic which would extend this episode maybe too much. But yeah, I absolutely agree with you that we really need to also consider democratizing our structure and to be fair with all what people are get paid for their time and effort they're putting into something. And also caring for each other. As I said, talking to coworkers, when you talked about that, something kind of came into my mind from the TV show The Big Bang Theory, where some actors were paid less than the others, and those others actors cut a pay and shared it with this particular actor. I don't recall who was it actually, but to be together on board and say we want to equalize it as much as possible because they are bringing so much on the table as well. And when you think about this, there's a question for either of you. As we already talked about the complexities of company cultures and also global cultural differences and DIB, can we discuss about the nuances of navigating these dynamics? Because at the end, we are all individuals, but in a broader context. And as we are now talking from the perspective of co-workers for a company which has fostered a separate ecosystem within the ecosystem, how can we approach this more into being, for instance, maybe a role model for other companies to make it better? Or can we learn from something which can be included in companies, which would be bring the most value to also to our audience? I was thinking about company culture, where this individual, what we can do as an individual within certain communities we are going around.
I think for companies, a foundation needs to be laid. And I can say confidently that Codable is like actively laying a foundation for a more welcoming and inclusive environment. On an individual level, I think everyone can become familiar with like conflict resolution skills, de-escalation skills. In the global context, there's a lot going on globally right now, and a lot of it is pretty bleak. I host a call every week on Fridays with the experts, and people want to talk about what's going on in their area. They want to ask about what's going on in other people's area. And a lot of times, some of that's going to be like politically charged. And I'm not a person who thinks that like politics have no place in the workplace. I'm actually pretty politically active and deeply invested in understanding global politics. But I think there's a couple of techniques that I use on an individual level that I'm trying to teach others these skills as well. I, for some reason, just love de-escalation. I think it's very fun. I think it's an artistic expression for me. Anyone who's been in a call with me, I don't know if they would be able to detect when I'm de-escalating or not, because I think I mix it in very seamlessly with the conversation. sometimes I just like to poke fun. Humor diffuses a lot of people's frustration, especially when you're on a call and you can see people's faces. I wouldn't use humor in a medium like Slack, but if people are talking about certain political figures, I like to just broadly say, we know that all politicians have all of our best interests at heart, right? Just something that like is a universal agreed upon. That's silly. We don't believe that. It like when in school and stuff, you talk about like finding common ground as like a means of de-escalation. But I think in practice, that can be really dorky, to be honest. So I like to just take that and push it to a very humorous space. Like, corporations always have our best interests at heart. Like, we can trust big pharma. There's these universal truths that like everyone hates monopolies. Everyone hates big pharma. Not everyone hates billionaires. So you have to be careful on that one. Some people love them. I don't really know why, but that's fine. Let's have it for another time. Humor is good when you can do that. I think like showing that you're happy is like huge to prevent topics from people from becoming agitated and frustrated. I don't know. I notice all the time. I feel like I never stop smiling when I'm in calls. And I think it's just trying to project the vibe that I'm like hoping to get out of the call. And aside from just using humor, just be blunt. Just be like, all right, we're not going to talk about that. And then just quickly pivot and ask someone a direct question like, so-and-so, you said you're working on this project. How is that going? I'm like a little meticulous with keeping track of like people's interests. And I'm probably some form of neurodiverse. I take notes on what people's interests are, what they're currently working on, their family members' names and birthdays and stuff like that in my phone. It's nice to just like have a quick topic to just pivot back to. Oh, has school started yet for your kid? Are they liking it? Something that will actually get people talking. And if you come up blank, I default to humor still if I am trying to just do a harsh pivot in conversation. And sometimes I just go to my generic, what are you doing this weekend? And it's then an awkward silence because no one is ever doing anything on the weekend. Everyone's just like, I'm just working. But it's funny because now it's like an ongoing bit that I do. Yeah, so humor and also just being fine with a hard pivot. And also there was another situation in person that I had that I did a hard pivot. And I just said, hey, normally I'm okay having a conversation like this. It's early in the morning. I've got a lot on my mind. I really don't want to talk about that right now. Yeah, and I don't know that I ever would have wanted to talk about it with this person anyways, but he respected it and it was totally fine. We ended up seeing each other during the conference, waving, saying hi. So I think, yeah, boundaries are super important, especially in the global context, expressing how you're feeling to other people and how the conversation is making you feel. I also had a awkward conversation on an airplane and I was sitting right next to someone who was saying political things that I didn't agree with. And I just said, you're making me uncomfortable right now. Can we stop talking? And we just sat there silently afterwards and it was uncomfortable, but it was fine because it wasn't as uncomfortable as it would have been if we were like arguing. Yeah, I don't know. Those are my tips for like individuals.
Yeah, thank you. It really reminds me on de-escalating my 5 children when they were fighting. So, yeah, that is always, distraction is a good strategy every time to pivot this. Yeah. And for your record, today was the day my first grandchild got on the first day on school.
I'll write it
he
down.
He turned 6 this year. So that is a big thing for me. And my daughter shared a picture with a big, we in Germany, we have some papier-mâché tubes and for school day. And yeah, it was crazy. I couldn't attend, but yeah, I will see him tomorrow. But yeah. But yeah, Mike, maybe for the last couple of minutes we have already, would you mind share your best tips on how to improve communication, especially written communication as a support agent? You always have the only the tool of the written word. So this is only one channel we have available as support agents. Have you any tips how to approach difficult situations?
Something I run into a lot is, I think, people like not being very clear, but expecting others to still understand them just through, I think, assuming cultural context in their language. For example, I've noticed sometimes certain people who know English as a second language are actually better with their written English than a lot of native speakers, because the native speakers will use just like very casual euphemisms or make assumptions that are not clear even to me sometimes, also a native speaker. So for direct advice is to just always draft what you're saying by typing it out and then rereading it, and rereading it from the perspective of someone else who doesn't know what you're thinking, and just try to look at things from their perspective and just making an effort towards having that sort of non-judgmental stance, whereby it's not about the individual. If they happen to have done something wrong, it doesn't mean that they're a bad person. We're all human, but none of us are perfect. And so just recognizing that kind of complexity and just trying to be very, I think precision with language is important. And I'm trying to think of more detailed advice. I saw a YouTube video recently that actually resonated with me a lot, that I thought was useful and also entertaining, giving advice for communicating with people with autism. Just because, I don't know if this is telling, but I just thought to myself, wow, I wish more people communicated like that. I really appreciate that kind of directness, because most people, like, they don't mean what they say or say what they mean. Like, you need just, I think, learning to be direct and precise with your communication would be very helpful. And yeah, talk to your coworkers. Always talk to your coworkers about this stuff. I don't know. As if I could also try to address, like, what you just asked Megan earlier about, like, individual efforts in changing company culture. It is hard, and it is a process, and that does involve some, like, contradictions whereby you are maybe in a company that still needs to be doing better, but you are, as an individual, making a difference. And overall, over the course of history, that could make an impact, which is good. But on the other hand, I think a lot of companies use that as an excuse, basically, that, oh, the culture is growing, and will point towards the efforts of individuals and claim company credit for it, and while hand-waving away problems because, oh, it takes time. But, like, at the end of the day, whilst all of that is true, I think we should ask ourselves, like, what is the company and what does it mean for a company to do something or say something? Which maybe sounds like a weird framing. So in law, there's this idea of, like, corporate personhood. The company is an entity separate from its individuals. Okay, so by what metric can you say that a company cares about something? If the company is a third-party entity, apart from the bosses, to my mind, the company is nothing more than its own policies. And so if you don't have things like concrete policies, I don't think you have even started, you here being the company, has even really started to address things. That's not to negate the impact of individuals who are trying to make a difference. That is important. So that is also really true. I'm just saying that, like, when it comes to companies specifically, if they want to make a difference, then I think that should be on paper and transparent and official. Because if it's not, then it's not an official act of the company, is it? I hope that makes sense. And then, like I said, talk to your coworkers. I could, instead of trying to make things better as an individual, I could elaborate on this extensively, and I'm going to try not to ramble. But, oh, I'll list an example from years ago, my own personal experience. I was once illegally fired. This is back when I was a social worker, and I was actually working at the Rape Crisis Center of Summit and Medina Counties here in Ohio. And ironically, my boss was making some very sexual comments that were inappropriate. And I tried to address it as an individual and disclosed, like, hey, that's not making me comfortable, and tried to say something to appeal to her, because this is a nonprofit, right? We're here to help people. This is the Rape Crisis Center, in fact. And I was fired the next day. So I just learned the hard way. I could list many other examples, but I think that should be one good illustration that, like, what I should have done instead is convinced my coworkers to want to do something about it too, and address it as a collective, because they can fire one person. But if a group of people are like, hey, this is actually not okay, that's how you get the goods. That's how you actually work towards justice.
Thank you very much for sharing this and also sharing your personal story. It is always touching to me. And especially, that is what I love about this show, is I learned so much from different perspectives and things I may have never thought about. And seeing that someone else lived through some uncertainty and harassment and found the strength to be there still for others, and found the strength in that and moving forward and being the caring person, even if it takes a lot of toll to do so. So I hope that everyone who is also listening is just patting themselves a bit on the shoulder and saying, okay, we did this. And we really also need to take care of ourselves and our mental health for this. Yeah, Megan, Mike, I'm so grateful for you being here on this show and sharing this. I would love to extend this, but we don't want to overstretch our audience attention. So thank you very much. And for our listeners, thank you for tuning in to the Do the Woo, the WordPress Way. We hope today's conversation has sparked new ideas and inspired you to engage more deeply within our vibrant WordPress community, but also in your work environment. And remember, DIB isn't just about numbers. It is about making real changes that foster a sense of belonging and respect for everyone. And please keep the conversation going by sharing this episode and join us again next month as we continue to explore important DIB topics and meet the leaders driving this change. And don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. Until next time, keep pushing the envelope and doing WordPress the right way.